If one big beautiful bill has left you with one big confusing question, turn to BHM CPA Group. Their experienced professionals break down complex changes in tax law, accounting, and business regulations so you can make informed decisions with confidence. Simplifying the complex is what BHM CPA Group does best. Don't wait. Visit bhmcpagroup.com and let's get to work. BHM, because running a business is hard enough. Your finances shouldn't be. Visit bhmcpagroup.com today.
What is up, what is up, and welcome back to another episode of Blood and Beer, the show where we talk blood sports, we drink beer. Goodness gracious, I'm your host, Matt. As always, we've got some blood sport to talk, specifically MMA and bare knuckle. UFC 320 going down this weekend, as well as PFL Champion Series, headlined by Paul Hughes versus Usman Nurmagomedov, a rematch for the light heavyweight title. And then you got Corey Anderson versus Dovlet Yagshimeradov. We're going to break that card down, as well as the UFC 320 main card. And we're going to talk a little bit, BKFC, Jeremy Stephens taking on Mike Perry. Frankie Edgar, he was supposed to compete this weekend, gets pulled either, I'm hearing two different things. It was initially reported it was a medical reason that he was pulled. He couldn't get medically cleared. I'm also hearing some rumblings that it may have been a contract dispute. I don't have anything to speculate on that, but those are some rumblings that are out there. So, that being said, let's kick this show off right. This card this weekend bangs. You got Magomed Ankalaev defending his light heavyweight title in a rematch against Alex Poatan Pereira, the guy that set the world on fire in MMA in 2024. In the co-main event, we have Corey Sandhagen challenging Merab Dvalishvili. This will be Merab's third title defense this year. He's on a 13-fight win streak, going for Anderson Silva's 16-fight win streak. Can he do it? It's very possible. And then in the feature fight, you get Khalil Roundtree Jr. taking on Jiří Procházka, freshly graduated from university with his master's, Jiří Procházka. You also have Josh Emmett versus Yusuf Zalal, Abus Magomedov versus D. Joe Pfeiffer, soon to be Joe Turn the Body Cam Off Pfeiffer is what he wants to be called. Atiba Gautier is on the card. Chris Gutierrez versus Fareed Basharat. Daniel Santos versus Jusang Yu. That fight's going to bang. And then we get Patchy Mix, buried deep down on the prelims, taking on Jacob Weeklax. That fight bangs. Jacob Weeklax, great grappler. I'll get into that fight a little bit. And then you got Ramiz Brahimaj taking on Mr. PVZ, Austin Vanderford, and Paulo Soriano taking on Nikolai Veretnikov. Card bangs. A lot of fun fights. A lot of fun fighters. A lot of fights on the card. But we'll kick things off here. After we go through the main card breakdown and a couple of the prelims, I'll give you my bets for UFC 320. Because as always, I give out 10 units. Year to date, we're currently up 36.3 units. We were up by 39.8, I think. So down week last week, but we're still doing all right year to date. Profitable, and that's what's important. What else is important is these title fights. So first up, breaking down Magomed Ankalaev versus Poatan, Alex Pereira. Magomed Ankalaev's coming in as a minus 265 favorite right now. Pereira coming back plus 215. And physically, these guys are about the same. Now, Pereira does have a 4-inch reach advantage, and everybody knows the book for Pereira. He's got that off switch on his left hook and on his right hand. He can put you out. He's got nasty kicks. He's a great kickboxer. And on paper, you shouldn't be able to beat this guy in a striking match, but last time out, that's exactly what Magomed Ankalaev did. And I'm a huge Pereira fan. The guy's just, I love that he does one thing in MMA, and he was able to take over the world. He's entertaining. He makes the people excited. Ankalaev does the exact opposite of that. And a lot of people call Ankalaev a wrestler, nut hugger. He's not. He's not really a wrestler at all. Averages just 0.8 takedowns around, or takedown attempts around, 22% takedown accuracy. So he's not a great wrestler, but what he does do is fight very smart. He takes your offense away from you. He's got this awkward, herky-jerky style when he's in the stand-up where it just doesn't look right, but it's effective. And he's not fast. He's not high volume, but he freezes his opponents in front of him. He'll press you up against the cage if he has to. He does anything he can to stall your offense. And if that means stalling his offense as well, he's not afraid to do that. Walks forward. The guy's got a great chin. He's only been dropped once in the UFC. only has one loss, and that was to Paul Craig in the waning seconds of their fight. Now, the 4-inch reach advantage we saw last time out, it didn't make a big difference. Uncle Ive was able to connect with Pereira no problem. I think this time out, because we have it's orthodox versus orthodox, but Pereira will switch stances a lot more than Uncle Ive will. I think what we're going to see out of Pereira, if he can establish the outside foot when they switch stances and land that lead hook, land a right hook or a left hook, he might put Uncle Ive's lights out. But more than that, I feel like it's just going to be Uncle Ive's night. When you become champ, you get 20% better automatically. The guy doesn't take strikes at all. People just don't throw on him. He freezes his opponents. He's great at stalling offense. He's made an art out of it. It's not entertaining to watch, even in his strictly striking fights. Even when he gets finishes, it's just duds. He doesn't do anything flashy, but he does do everything right, even if it doesn't look aesthetically pleasing. I hate this fight, honestly, because I can't stand Uncle Ive, but I do think Uncle Ive's going to win. It's just that style of not going for it. It's like he's waiting for you. He's moving forward, but waiting for you to attack him so he can counter you while he's moving forward. It's a very effective strategy, but it causes guys to freeze a little bit, and he doesn't shoot off offense like crazy. So I hope he gets knocked out. I hope he gets flatlined, but I ultimately I'm picking Uncle Ive in this one. Now, something to keep in mind, Pereira's been saying in interviews he was only at about 40% that last time out. So if that is true, if the 2024 schedule just took a toll on the man, he fought a million times, defending his title each time, knocking out everybody at the top of the division. If this time off, if these 8 months that he's had off, 7 months off, have rejuvenated him, he can get all his injuries healed up and train properly. Because you got to remember, the guy was also traveling the world at every single UFC event. If he's got all that in order, I could see Pereira going out and sleeping this man. And he could do it in round one or round five. The guy doesn't gas out, truly. So I like Uncle Ive here. I wish I liked Pereira, and I'm going to be rooting for Pereira. I'm not going to put money on Uncle Ive, I don't think, because goes against my values. You ride with your dogs. I should be putting money on Pereira at plus 215 because that off switch is such a difference maker. But I also think Uncle Ive, I keep giving my final thoughts, but I think Uncle Ive might have more success in the wrestling this time as well, because Pereira is going to be expecting him to go for a striking match. He defended 12 takedowns last time, but not all 12 were true takedown attempts. A lot of them were takedown attempts just to get control or to get him up against the cage. I like Uncle Ive. Bet Uncle Ive. Uncle Ive is the smart money. That's why the odds have him at minus 265. And I wouldn't be surprised if Uncle Ive gets a finish here either. You know, Pereira is 38 and he's been fighting his entire life from karate or from kickboxing to MMA. So I hate that I like Uncle Ive here. I hate it. But we'll move along and get on to the co-main event for the bantamweight title. Merab Dvalishvili making his third title defense of the year. Like I said earlier, 13-fight win streak. Wins this 14, and he just needs two more to tie Anderson Silva's 16-fight win streak record. Now, this fight, odds are wide. Merab's a minus 400 to Corey, coming back at about plus 290, plus 310, depending where you're looking. And Merab, again, just like Pereira, we know the book on this dude. Energizer Bunny never slows down. Even if his offense isn't working, he's still just shooting it. He's shooting takedowns. He's striking. He's just always moving forward in your face. Nonstop action out of Merab. Now, Corey Sandhagen, the guy has great footwork. He's tall, but not real long and lanky. Only a 70-inch reach, so he's only going to have a 2-inch reach advantage on a 5-inch height advantage here. But what Corey does really well is not allow the fight to get out of control. He doesn't allow the fight to get away from him, so he won't fight you in your best area. Merab will try to beat you in your best area, and because he wears people out so much, he will. Corey, he does a good job of separating from dangerous positions. Like when guys are shooting takedowns, he steps to the side. He gets out of the way. He has really good takedown defense. We've seen recently where his wrestling has improved as well. And we talk about Merab's gas tank. We don't need to talk a ton about how great Merab is at 5.8 takedown attempts or 5.8 takedowns a fight or per 15 minutes, however you want to look at that. But Corey also lived in Colorado his whole life, has always trained at altitude. So I wouldn't be surprised if Corey could be the guy to have the gas to beat Merab. I still don't know if he'll have the motor to outwork Merab here, but I wouldn't be surprised if Merab shoots in for a takedown from far out and Corey catches him with a flying knee. Corey's kicking game is going to be pretty neutralized here, except for teep kicks up the middle because Merab can catch him. Teep kick's a little faster, it's harder to catch, but everything else, he won't be able to throw a ton of kicks because Merab will catch him or shoot in and get the takedown while Corey's off balance. So Corey's going to have to rely on his striking and then the clinch work, which I think he'll have a big advantage in the clinch if he can prevent Merab from dropping to the next level for a takedown, trying to secure the legs or just stay off the cage. And Corey does do a good job of circling out. That was where I was trying to get at the beginning of this whole tangent. I like Merab here, but at plus 300, plus 310, I would throw some money on Corey. Not on my bets here, but you know, if you just got some money to spend, you're tripling your money up with Corey Sandhagen. But yeah, Merab's probably going to win. He's looked unbeatable. We can say all the great things in the world about Corey. Cons about Corey, though, every time he's gotten to an A-plus level fighter, he just hasn't been able to get the job done. With, beats Figueiredo, he beats Chito Vera, he beats Rob Font, he beats all these guys. He gets to TJ Dillashaw, can't get the job done. Piotr Jan, can't get the job done. Umar Nurmagomedov, can't get the job done. You can also say, though, after all those fights, he added wrinkles that got him beat in those fights to his arsenal for the next time out, and he's looked better each time. So this could be the final form of Corey Sandhagen. He could be shocking the world and become the champ. But Merab has looked invincible. The chin's crazy. The gas tank's crazy. And when he does get rocked, he recovers so fast because he's in such good shape. So I think Merab's going to win a decision here. I don't think we're going to see him finish Corey, but you never know. It'd be nice to see Corey win. It'd be a fun story. And I don't hate Merab the way I hate Ankalaev's fight style, but it'd be fun if Pereira and Sandhagen won. It would make for a fun night of fights. But you know what else makes for a fun night of fights? Having Jiří Prochazka go head-to-head with Khalil Rountree. This fight bangs. Now, Khalil Rountree is going to have a 3.5-inch reach disadvantage here, but I think he's going to still be able to control the range better than Jiří. Jiří's this wild looping dude, crazy style, throwing shots from his hip, from his knees, putting his head out in front of you, just using head movement. Against Jamahal Hill, he looked a lot more defensively sound and concerned. He gets the knockout in that fight, but he still gets caught a lot, and Khalil Rountree cracks. Very technical striker, straight down the middle. When he's throwing his hooks, they're real tight. He's always got the high guard moving forward. Rips nasty low kicks, and that could be a problem for Jiří because Jiří doesn't check low kicks at all. He just eats them and keeps trying to move forward. The guy's tough as hell. I have no tell on this fight because Jiří, every time you're like, man, they're about even. This guy's a lot more technical. He should beat him. Jiří goes out there and forces you to fight his fight. He makes it wonky. He's moving around. He's taking awkward angles with his feet. He's taking awkward angles with his strikes, and then he'll knock you out. He's got crazy power as well. And his chin, just like Merab also, his ability to recover when he gets rocked. We've seen him knocked out in several fights and recover before he goes to the mat. I mean, the guy's unreal. I like Jiří here, I think. I think Yuri's a little more active, and I think it could give Khalil problems. But Khalil is just, if Khalil stays within himself, stays shooting the shots down the middle, stays right where he needs to be, doesn't start getting looping and trying to chase Jiří down, then I think that he's got a good shot. But it's just, this fight's going to bang. It's going to be pure violence. Both these guys go out there and go crazy hard. You know, Khalil versus Alex, that was a great fight. Khalil versus Jamahal Hill, it showed Khalil's pedigree and his skill. But he's also knocked out Anthony Smith violently, Chris Daukaus violently. Who else do we have on this list for him? Carl Roberson with a soccer kick. Modestus Bukauskas broke his knee. I mean, the guy's nasty with the striking. Khalil's a fun fighter. And Jiří, 31 wins, 30 of them by TKO, I believe, or by stoppage. So this fight, guaranteed banger, and definitely front runner for fight of the night when that comes around at probably 2 a.m. on Sunday morning. And then we have Josh Emmett taking on the Moroccan devil, Yusuf Zalal. Josh Emmett's plus 375, minus 550 for Yusuf Zalal. And I like Josh Emmett. I like the striking power. I like that he's not afraid to go out there and just swing, take shots to give shots. He's a good wrestler. I don't think this is a great matchup for him, though. Yusuf Zalal is a guy that's on his bike the whole time. He's going to want to poke you from the outside, strike with you. He'll take you down when he needs to control you. Not going for a ton of finishes, though. You know, 9 submissions to his name. Yes, that's good. But you look at the guys he submitted. Jack Shore is probably the best on there. He fought Calvin Kattar to a very boring decision and almost lost that at the end of it. He's also
when you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Also got Billy Q by submission, but Billy Q's towards the end of his career. All that being said, Josh Emmett's 40 years old. He looks incredible, like he's in incredible shape, but I think Yusuf Zalal is just going to be too fast. Not that he's going to be piecing him up. He's just going to be poking him and moving out of the way of danger. And I don't think it's going to be a fun fight. I think that it's going to leave fans frustrated, wishing Josh Emmett would have won because he was chasing him down the whole fight. But Yusuf's popping the jab, using the low kick, and just I don't like this fight, but I understand you got to keep the division moving. Josh Emmett's ranked number 8. He's lost 3 of his last 4. Yusuf Zalal, he's ranked 9. He's on a 5 or 6 fight win streak here in the UFC since coming back. This is his second stint. So Yusuf Zalal, smart money, minus 550. What's the odds on him by decision? Let's see here. Fight goes the distance, minus 275. Let's see here. By points, minus 200 for Yusuf Zalal. So, I mean, yeah, take the minus 200 because that's probably how he's going to win, but it's not going to be a fun fight, I can tell you that. If it is a fun fight, Josh Emmett's going to put his lights out. All right, and then we got the pride of Germany, Abus Magomedov, taking on Joe, turn the body cam off, Pfeiffer. That's what he said at the press conference this week anyways. And I don't know what to think of this fight. I don't think either of these fighters are particularly at the top of the middleweight division. But Joe Pfeiffer, I think, has a lot more potential to get there. He's only 29. The guy's got crazy power. He has a pretty good motor at the beginning of fights especially. He's not one round and done, but he's definitely better at the beginning of his fights from what we've seen so far in his UFC career. The guy's got good wrestling. He's got good submissions if he needs to, but he's got real knockout power. Abus Magomedov, he's a technical striker. He reminds me a little bit of Ibo Ursulon, where he looks like he's really good, looks good getting off the bus, but just doesn't seem to put it all together. His last fight with Michel Pereira was one of the worst fights I've ever seen. I don't know. Joe Pfeiffer, minus 270 favorite, and you can bet that. No problem. He'll wear out Abus Magomedov. While Magomedov has gone 3 rounds in his last 2 fights, Joe Pfeiffer, the pace that he pushes, I think that'll bring back the gas tank concerns we've seen from Abus Magomedov. I think Joe Pfeiffer is going to maybe struggle off the jab from Abus at the beginning, but once he finds a way past that, he's got the power. He's going to be rocking this guy around. Abus also doesn't move his head a whole lot. Doesn't have a ton of power on him. I like Joe Pfeiffer here against kind of a journeyman at this point in Abus Magomedov, a guy that's almost cracked into the top of the division, and then when he got up there against the top guys, it showed that he wasn't truly ready with the Kyle Bohayas and the Sean Stricklands of the world. So yeah, Joe Pfeiffer, little bit weird bout placement on this fight card, I think, because we have Patchy Mix, not even as the featured early prelim. He's just buried on the early prelims that are going to be on ESPN plus Disney and FX. He's taking on Jacob Weeklax, and Weeklax is a great grappler. The guy's 16-3, and he's got 10 submissions to his name, 2 knockout losses, and Patchy Mix didn't look great last time out, but Patchy Mix is a world-class grappler. Jacob Weeklax, he fought in KSW. He's a multi-time champion, but one of these guys on his record, I'm going to butcher this name, but Prishabish, he's fought him 5 times. He's fought one guy 5 times. 20% of his fights are with one person. And that's just bizarre. Weeklax, what I've seen of him, he's not very defensively sound. He does a good job of finding submissions, and he has a lot more submissions than Patchy Mix, but I think Patchy Mix, with his wrestling, with he's going to have more power, and he's going to be the better striker, despite what we saw last time out. I think there's just way too many paths to victory here, and if Patchy Mix does lose this fight, I mean, that's curtains for him as far as championship aspirations in the UFC. He's 32 years old, drops his first two fights, one to Mario Bautista, no shame there. Another one to Jacob Weeklax making his UFC debut. That's no good. No bueno for Patchy Mix, but I think he's going to get it done in a bounce back. I don't know what his ceiling is in the UFC. I don't know if that first fight was just a bit of a fluke, but yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. It's a weird one. I feel like that fight should be the featured prelim, or at least on the prelims, not the early prelims. It's a bit weird to me, you know? Oh, goodness gracious. Let's get into our bets for this card, though, before we move on to PFL Champion Series. So, I've got a couple bets on this card. First, I got 3 units. Oh, I must have been feeling bold when I wrote this. I don't even remember writing this, but 3 units Khalil by TKO. I guess I was probably thinking, you know, Yuri's been locked into college. Maybe he hasn't been training the same way, the same intensity. Maybe he'll get caught slipping. Khalil does have power, and he's throwing straight down the middle. Might catch Yuri with a combination. That's probably what I was thinking here. Khalil by TKO at plus 350. 3 units on it gets me 13.5 back. So that might just be a 3-unit donation. I'm not sure. And then I have a non-violence parlay. I have 3 units on this parlay with Macy Chison and Yana Santos to go the distance. Chison and Santos over 2.5. Emmett Zalal over 2.5. Veronica Hardy versus Brogan Walker over 2.5. All 3 of those combined gives us plus 119. So 3 units gets us 6.88 back. And the last bet I have, it's a violence bet. It's on Kalia Pereira to not go the distance, specifically under 3.5 rounds at plus 100. 4 units gets us 8 units back. I have a feeling this fight's going to finish early one way or another. It could be anticlimactic, but I have a feeling that fight's finishing early. So again, we got the non-violence parlay with all over 2.5, Emmett Zalal, Chison Santos, Hardy Walker. We got 3 units on Khalil by TKO, and we got 4 on Ankalaev and Pereira. That's the bets. Goodness. Then we move on to the Champion Series, which is actually taking place this Friday. Goodness. Lost my nicotine. Taking place this Friday, though, on ESPN Unlimited, PFL, Paul Hughes versus Usman Nurmagomedov 2 for the vacant lightweight title. And then you got Corey Anderson taking on Dovlat Yagshmiradov for the vacant PFL light heavyweight title. I hate that they're doing this card on ESPN Unlimited. PFL, they finally start moving in the right direction, saying, hey, we're not doing a tournament for everything. We're just trying to put on the best fights. Pretty much saying, we're going to be a normal fight promotion. We're going to stop trying to be cute. Right on ya. And then we got this card taking place at 11:30 a.m. on ESPN Unlimited, a $30 subscription that nobody really has and nobody's going to get for the PFL. I'll try to find a link for it, but I'm not going to get ESPN Unlimited. That doesn't even come with your ESPN Plus subscription. So shame on you, PFL, for letting ESPN bury you on Unlimited. Should have fought for it more, but I do understand, you know, you only have so much you can do when you're working with a huge conglomerate like ESPN, and they got to put content on that somehow, but I can tell you, nobody's going to be watching this card. Nobody's going to be watching this card. I mean, 11:30 a.m. on a Friday. Sorry about the burp, but 11:30 a.m. on a Friday. It's despicable. Now, Paul Hughes versus Usman Nurmagomedov. First fight happened back in January, and it was absolute classic. It was Usman Nurmagomedov wins by unanimous decision, not without some controversy. There was a head clash that stopped all Paul Hughes' momentum before it looked like Paul Hughes might have been getting Usman out of there. There was a groin shot that ended up in a point being taken. There's a lot going on. Usman may have also overlooked Paul Hughes. This is a weird fight because I think Usman is probably rightfully in the PFL. I think he may be the lowest of the Nurmagomedov clan with Makhachev, Khabib, Umar, and then Usman. I think Usman is the lowest skilled out of all of them. So Paul Hughes absolutely has a chance to beat him, but I still think he overlooked Paul Hughes last time out. The guy has great wrestling. He's primarily a striker. I'm talking about Usman, of course. Primarily a striker, and he's got good kickboxing, good kicks. And when it gets to the ground, it's like every other Nurmagomedov. He holds you there, and he can ride you. He can get a submission from anywhere. Now, Paul Hughes, the guy's physical as hell, always moving forward, has nasty boxing, works the body very well, and he has really good takedown defense. This is going to be a fun fight. Paul Hughes is a plus 200 dog right now. I like Paul Hughes in this one, but I don't. I say I like Paul Hughes because he's Irish and I'm rooting for Ireland, but truly I think what's going to happen is Usman Nurmagomedov is going to go out there, put on a 5-round clinic, shut Paul Hughes up and say, hey, listen, I really am the best to do this thing. I overlooked him last time out. There were some injuries I was dealing with, and I think that Usman's going to get the job done here. But then we got Corey Anderson taking on Dovlet Yagshmiradov, and Corey Anderson's only a minus 195 favorite. I think Corey Anderson's going to clean the house with him. He's looked great since joining the PFL Tour family. He almost beat Vadim Nemkov before a head clash kind of stopped the fight. He's beaten Dovlet before. Dovlet's a beast. He's knocked out Ian Pakisanganai in round one. He won the 2024 PFL Championship, but I think Corey Anderson's going to be too big, too physical. You know, Dovlet's a guy that could probably fight at 185 if he wanted to. He's fighting here at 205, and that's Corey's home. Corey just took out Denis Goltsov, 2024 PFL heavyweight champ, in round two. I think he's going to have no problem getting a finish of Dovlet Yagshmiradov. And at minus 195, you should make that guy an anchor on any parlay you're going to do. Corey's winning this fight, no problem. Dovlet's got nothing for him. Might have faster hands, but Corey's got the more powerful hands. Amazing wrestling, great ground and pound. And he gets that ground and pound off on everybody he fights. Once he gets you to the ground, it's curtains. The guy's just taking your fucking head off. He's splitting you open. It's nasty. And the rest of that card, it's filled up with some pretty good fights. You got Magomed Magomedov, two Magomeds in the guy's name. He's taking on Sergio Pettis, brother of Anthony Pettis. And not only that, he's a former bantamweight and I think flyweight champion for Bellator. The guy was a beast. He won the Bellator Grand Prix at 135. You got Archie Colgan taking on J.J. Wilson. And what they're billing to see, it seems to be that's going to be the number one contender fight at 155. I'm not sure if that'll end up being the winner of that will end up facing Usman or Paul Hughes, but Archie Colgan's a blue chip prospect. Guy's a great wrestler, D1 out of, I think, Minnesota. J.J. Wilson out of New Zealand. The guy's just a fun fighter. He's a great mixed martial artist. That's going to be a fun fight. You got former UFC fighter who left the UFC on a win, Callan Loughran, making his PFL debut against, I think this is James Cartwright or Jack Cartwright. Don't have the name here. Can't even pull up his profile on ESPN right now. I know. Use Tapology, but it's a good card. It's a shame that it's going to be buried on ESPN Unlimited at 11:30 a.m. I mean, just a shame, PFL. You gotta put better times on. But whatever. You do your thing, and you want this promotion to fail. Whatever. You know, it's a great tax write-off that this promotion's losing all this fucking money for you, probably. Make it watchable. You're putting on a good product now. Make it watchable. It's frustrating as hell that you guys can't figure this shit out. All right, and finally, BKFC Platinum Mike Perry taking on Jeremy Lil Heathen Stevens for the King of Violence title. This fight's going to bang. Jeremy Stevens, undefeated in BKFC, as is Mike Perry. Mike Perry's definitely more seasoned. He's fought a lot better guys with Luke Rockhold, Eddie Alvarez, MVP, just to name a few. Julian Let Me Bang Lane, I mean, he's been a beast. Jeremy Stevens, I think, moving up from 145 in MMA, where he spent his whole career, he's going to have a speed advantage, but the power, the size, it could be a real issue. Mike Perry is a compact dude, and he hits hard. 170 to 145. You know, we saw Terrence Crawford do that against Canelo, but this isn't the same thing there. I think Mike Perry's probably going to take his head off, but the fight's going to be fun as long as it lasts. I think Jeremy Stevens is a tough dude. You're not going to see him get hit and quit, so I think he'll go out on his shield. I think we're going to see him, somebody stretchered off, or if not stretchered off, flatlined. But it wouldn't surprise me if Jeremy Stevens goes in there and catches him with a nasty combination on the inside and rocks Mike Perry. We've seen Mike Perry rocked a little bit in the past, not so much in BKFC, but Yeah, I think this fight's going to bang. BKFC is doing the right thing here, and they moved the card to the daytime, so it's not competing with UFC because they know their lane. They're not trying to compete with UFC. In the press conference for this week, Mike Perry and Conor McGregor were going at it. Conor's telling him, you're going to perform or you're going to be gone. You know, if you don't win this, then you're out of here. I didn't like what you did in the Misfits fight. I don't like the dirty boxing things that you're doing. So if you lose this, you're out of here. And then he tells Mike Perry, if you win this, you're fighting for a world title next. That's what you should be going for. We need to promote world titles, not this King of Violence bullshit. We made this for you. You need to win a title to make yourself. You need to stop going off of this because this is nothing. You need to go for a world title. I think Conor's trying to bring some legitimacy to the weight classes in BKFC. And Mike Perry could absolutely do that. The dude's a beast, but we can't write off Jeremy Stephens. I'm speeding through this. It's getting hot in here. My allergies are getting all stuffed up. But that's just about all I got for you. You should definitely go back and watch the pre-fight press conference with Mike Perry and Conor McGregor. It was fireworks. It was fucking dope. But also on that BKFC card, as I said earlier, Frankie Edgar, he was supposed to fight Jimmy Rivera. Fight gets canceled, whether it's contract disputes, whether it's medical clearance issues. I don't know. I've heard both. BKFC says it's medical, so we'll go with that. But they have a replacement for Jimmy Rivera. I don't know. That's all I got for you, though. And, you know, there's other stuff going on around the world, around MMA, news, whatnot. This was just a fight breakdown, trying to get back into it, trying to get my energy back for MMA because it was fucking rough for a long stretch there. Haven't had a pay-per-view for a while, but that's not always the problem. It's when you're giving us dog shit cards and expecting us to get excited about it. When the media can't even get excited, the talking heads can't get excited, all they can focus on is the negative, is the politics, whether they hate the right wing being associated with the UFC, or whether it's the right wing just get, you know, people shitting on those media members. That it's all frustrating. There's so much negativity in this sport that's already not hitting the marks. We need to try to lift it up and be positive. We need to be fucking happier about this sport. That's what I want. Next week's UFC Brazil and the True Kings coming back. Charles Du Bronx Oliveira, he's taking on Matheus Gamrot. We got, I think it's Davison. Is it Davison Figueiredo? Yes, he's taking on. Let me get this here. Shit, had it, lost it, botched it. Davison Figueiredo taking on knockout artist Montel Jackson. You got Joel Alvarez taking on Vicente Luque. Jonathan Deniz versus Pinto. I don't know about that one. Ricardo Ramos is being set up to knock out Con Oafley. Lucas Almeida versus Michael Aswell. Jafel Filho versus Clayton Carpenter. I mean, the card kind of bangs. Vitor Petrino's back at heavyweight versus Thomas Peterson. Walter Walker versus Muhammad Usman, brother of Kamaru. This card just kind of gets me excited. I don't know. It's not the best fights, but it's just, I feel like there's going to be some wonky shit happening, some great early finishes. I can't fucking wait. That's all I got for you. I got to edit this now and cut out all the shit I fucked up and taking off my sweater, whatever. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Matt. Make sure you follow us on X at BloodBeerMMA. And thank you for anybody that's been supporting the podcast for the past couple of years. I appreciate you. Bye.